there's nothing on the screen, and that is correct.
Some kind of glass, I think.
The computer thing works. Excellent, praise God. Okay, cool. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we pray and we thank you for what you are doing in us. And despite the, I'm going to say humbleness, I know that's not the right word, but the humbleness of our everyday lives and the earthiness of them, and the fact that we do live in this world that is under the dominion of Satan. We thank you. We are under your kingdom. And we thank you for all the grace you show us. And we thank you that your Spirit is working in us through all of that. So we pray for your kingdom to come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray, please help me to speak only the word you want me to. And all of those. Be what you want through your own dream. Cool. Okay. Move this over here. Okay. Excellent. So, we obviously can see the passage written up there, Ephesians 5:1-14. I hope you get that right. Yeah. Hope so. Yeah. No. Right. Following on in our Ephesians series. Or our Ephesians second half series. Good. But I'd like to read you a couple of things from the first half of Ephesians, because everything in the second half of Ephesians, you'll notice there's a lot of therefores, and sometimes the therefores are for what he said in the sentence just beforehand, but he's kind of, Paul is always calling back to the stuff he stated in chapters 1 to 3. So, there we go. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm just going to look from nearly verse 5. For some reason, the verse break between 4 and 5 is in a funny place, so just before verse 5. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. And I'll quickly note as well, the one that's just on the wall here, which is Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Cool. Alright. I'm trying to think of off the top of my head. I don't know. Has anyone seen? I'm trying to think of a story or something like that. But has anyone seen, like, there's these various, let's say, superhero TV shows or whatever else, comic books and stuff like that. And sometimes there's all different kinds, but some of them you do get this sense of, you know, an ordinary dude, an ordinary person. Every superhero has a different origin. Some of them get, you know, eat funny chemicals or whatever in stories. But I'm more talking about sometimes you'll have situations where an ordinary person will discover that they have either been chosen, or perhaps always were, but it was hidden from them somehow, that they are actually part of something otherworldly. Yeah? I guess here's a good one, the Green Lantern stories, if anyone knows those. Anyone know that? No? Whatever is in brightest day, blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. No, anyway.
I've heard on the Big Bang Theory.
We can go with Superman. That's Superman works
as well. Okay, fine.
That's fine. The difference being that Superman was born special and then, you know, raised on Earth. Green Lantern is a human who is chosen to be basically an intergalactic policeman, let's put it that way. recruited, you might say.
That's
funny. Anyway, so. Okay, this is what we're dealing with in Ephesians, and I want to put in context what we're going to look at now. It's in the context, in our passage, the context is we have been chosen, yeah? We have been elected, we have been adopted, okay? Not against our will, but with our cooperation, with our pleading, to be honest, when it comes to, you know, forgiveness in Christ and everything, but you get the whole package. We've been adopted as sons of the living God. Yeah? Ladies too, sons of the living God, right? We get an inheritance. We, you know, this is the kind of thing that's been emphasized throughout the start of Ephesians and many other places. So, when we see the passages today about do this, don't do this, come on, this isn't, you know, this isn't fitting for you, that is, you got to have in the context of, can you imagine discovering that you were part of the royal family or something like that, okay? Or, you know what I mean, like not just a random distant, but like, oh, it turned out through some work of this, that, or the other, that you are, you know, in line to the throne or something. Yeah? Now, can you imagine then, you know, you get swept into, has anyone watched, what was that program? Designated Survivor. They had that one with the American presidency where there's a guy, you know, there's always someone who sits out of the meeting to make sure they can't all be killed at once, basically. And it's a storyline about a nobody who ends up becoming president. And there's this scene, and there, you know, you can imagine the same with something like the Crown or whatever else. There's this scene where they get, you know, the aides and the various workers and so on are sort of inducting this new person into their new responsibilities, and they're like, okay, you've got to be like this now, and this is you have to remember this, and this is an important priority, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and no, you don't have any time to go and do that anymore, you know? Sorry, you're going to have to let your World of Warcraft clan, you know, down on this one, because you've got a more important job now. Do you see what I mean, right? That is the context in which we're seeing these things that we're about to see today. Okay? So, let's have a look. If the PowerPoint will advance, which it will! Okay, I would like you, can you open to it yourself? I know I'm putting some things on there, and I know some people can see them, but if you could open
therefore,
to Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 14, because it also allows you to easily, you know, I mentioned in chapter 4, you can back easily or whatever else, you know. And you can see, you can follow through some things. Cool. Alrighty. So I'll read it out for the benefit of the tape and so on. So, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. That word saints, holy ones, by the way. Also, perhaps used sometimes to refer to the sons of God, or the angelic host, or those kind of things. Anyway, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. now that we've mentioned it, are you noticing as we go through there, all the sort of little hooks related to, yeah, this is because of your new identity? Yeah? All the times where it's like, you know, yes, we've got the Walker's children and the like, but notice, you know, that he says here, where is it? No one who, and then lists a bunch of things, anyone who does these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. The idea being, you do have an inheritance in these things, don't behave like the people who don't. Yeah? You are part of God's royal family now. Yeah. Alright? He also says, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Are you one of the sons of disobedience, or are you one of the sons or the children of light? Yeah? It's an identity issue. So we have a, what you might say, a habit of life that flows from our identity. And so what is being asked here is to match your habit to your identity. If you claim this identity, you better be sure to match your habits to your identity. Yeah? Now, I will mention that you might start to ask, goodness me, there's a lot going on here, and how do I do this? And I would say, you'll have to wait for Gillian's one. Yes, Gillian's one is about the how, and that does come as part of the package, okay? But we're looking at the what. We're looking at what is the aim, okay? We're looking at the aim, I guess you might call it the equipment, comes next, okay? So don't let it panic you. You are, sure, you're allowed to read ahead, okay? You are allowed to, if you're ever feeling overly challenged or discouraged or anything like that. Okay, cool. So let's have a look. Simple things here, okay? Sometimes the Bible needs explaining, sometimes it just needs applying, okay? So I've got some what to do, I've got some what not to do, and then a bit about the light and darkness, okay? So there we go. So I've just highlighted in green, this is the same passage here, except notice that 5:1 starts with therefore, and I thought, probably should look back a bit and see what it's there for, right? So I went back one verse, I know. What a slog. So I think he's probably there for the whole previous book of Ephesians, but anyway, it says in the end of chapter 4, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And straight on, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Are you a child of God?
Yes.
Then imitate God. Yeah, imitate Jesus, yeah? And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, so Jesus made a sacrifice to God. Imitate him. How did Jesus make a sacrifice to God? He did that by sacrificial love. Okay? Jesus says... Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Think about that for a second. Love one another as I have loved you, says Jesus. The guy who let himself be tortured to death on false charges by people, and he said, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. But more than that, he actually went into that to save potentially those same people. So, okay, that's a lot. Right, once we really understand the magnitude of what we're being called to, then we're crying out for God to help us with that, which is, again, what you need next week. Or you can read ahead, that's fine. you'll have to read ahead then, I guess. Or really struggle for a month, and then when you get to the grace and the power of God's Holy Spirit, by the time Julian preaches on it, if you don't read ahead, then you'll be really gasping for it. So, there we go. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Okay? Yeah? So, we are called to love, and specifically here it mentions sacrificial love. Okay? Loving the other person enough that it costs you something. Alright? We're not talking about
a sort of defeatist, like, or resentful, or any of those things, because what we're doing, when we use that reflex, and I have as well, of kind of resenting, or, oh, I have to, or it's an obligation. Well, often what we're doing is we're pretending that we don't have a choice as a way of making it feel less costly to ourselves in a weird way, or something like that. And actually, the costly choice is what it's about. So it's with Thanksgiving, in fact. Yeah? And I'm not saying I've got that nailed down, but that is the calling. Yeah?
Okay. I'll go on from there. So we noticed the green parts. I'm just going to highlight those out for a second. Here they are. Okay? So verse 4:32, we had that, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Then we've got 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. What else to do? It says, verse 5:4, it says, let there be thanksgiving. Verse 5:8, walk as children of light. Yeah. Verse 10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's like a really essential thing, isn't it? It's remember, when Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma, he wasn't sacrificing himself to the people. It was for their sake. It was out of love for the people he sacrificed to God. Does that make sense? Mm. And we're supposed to do the same. So the idea is that, yes, I'm loving this person in front of me at cost to myself, but instead of being like, ugh, why do I have to do this for you, my attention is on God. Yeah? Lord, help me do this. Hey? So it's like, I'm doing something at cost to me for you, but actually, what I'm trying to do is discern what is pleasing to God. So I'm doing it for him. Jesus, this is for you. Yeah? So that's what Jesus did, isn't it, on the cross? That's our example. Yeah? Yeah, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And part of that, remember, he said, you know, his joy, his, what filled him up was doing what the Father said. Yeah? And to kind of complete his will. All right. And of course, I couldn't leave out the, because of the way the sentence is structured, could leave out the take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness bit, which is actually on the don't page, because I need to say, but instead expose them. Okay? So expose unfruitful works of darkness. You can just say ignore. Dear, that's unpopular. Right? Expose, like, whew, okay, that's not very British. Maybe you've got dual citizenship now, you're not just British. If you, right, some of you have got multiple citizenship, but the point is, if we are children of God, if we've been created for his good works, if we are members of his kingdom, then, you know, British culture comes second place. Now, it doesn't say how, and it doesn't say, you know, there is wisdom in how we do certain things, okay? So we're not saying, you know, just complain about everything that isn't godly in the world and try to make everybody behave like Christians even when they're not. No, we're not saying that, right? But it's the question, you know, if, like, there is a time for saying, hey, I don't know if you're planning on following Jesus or not or anything, but I'm just letting you know that ain't right. Yeah? It's not so much about trying to control other people, it's about exposing the reality of things, okay? It's about truth, it's not about control. Does that make sense? Yeah? We don't have to control what other people watch on TV, but we also don't have to talk to our friends as though everything that could be seen on TV is totally fine. See what I mean? Yeah? Exposing. I had a situation recently where I had to do something about this. There's, you know, the gaming club that I run, and there were some people came along with, let's say, some very interesting and fruity sexual orientations and things like that. Okay, now it's tricky because, yeah, first of all, it's not a Christian gaming club per se, right? And second of all, you want to be able to be
welcoming and loving to anyone, right? And you know, Paul says in various places, you know, we're not asking you to avoid all such people who have this issue or that, especially if they don't think it's a problem. Outside the church. Inside the church, yeah, that might be an issue. Someone who says, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I think A, B, C, D, you know, all this sexual immorality is okay. That might be a problem, right? But someone outside the church, you're not expected to, like, never do business with them or whatever, you know, or not play a game of 40K with them or whatever. So it's tricky. There's that. However, I noticed that with these people joining, everybody in the club just started on the extremely coarse jokes on the, you know, the conversation topics in the chat. Just everything was an innuendo every 4 seconds. And I was like, I don't know what to do about this because I don't want to make the one guy feel unaccepted, even though, yes, he's living a wrong lifestyle, that, sure. But I don't want to make him feel picked on because actually, it's not like the rest of everybody who maybe, you know, not going into that particular kind of sexual immorality, but still 1,000 other kinds. It's not like they're, you know, better or something. You know what I mean? So I basically took the decision to, okay, no, I need to expose this. I need to say something here. It wasn't because I was studying this, but now that I'm preaching this, I'm like, oh good, I'm glad I did that. And I came up with, you know, I just put someone and said, hey guys, you know. Notice we want to, you know, so and so joined. We want to make them feel accepted and like it's a safe kind of space for them to be there. And they're accepted as people and so on. But I have noticed that since that happened, people have just started ramping up all the coarse joking and stuff like that. And it's getting a bit much, and it's getting to the point where some people are going to feel uncomfortable and unwelcome because they don't want to be bombarded with that. You know, so can you just tone that down? Right? And actually, what was really interesting is most people are like, oh yeah, fine, and it's just stopped. Now, I don't have a lot of clout, to be honest. At least I don't think I do. I'm not like one of the super popular ones or anything. I've never been in a clique, far as I know. But the point is that, yeah, that just happened, and it was just, I just said something, and everyone went, oh, yeah. And then I had someone message me privately and say thank you, actually, because I was getting a bit uncomfortable. You know, oh, okay. So there's hopefully an example. I'm not putting myself up there on a pedestal or anything. Usually I would probably stand as silent as everyone else, right? But there we go. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Yeah? This is not okay, that kind of thing. Okay. So, but the big focus here is try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Remember, we are not members only of this world. We are part of a heavenly kingdom. Yeah? If we're not, we're not saved. And if we are, we better start matching our habit to our position. Yeah? But, all right. The what not to do. Okay? Big red text. I thought you'd like that. Yeah. there's a bunch of it here. Okay? So, as before, I'm not going to read it all, this bit all again. But I've just highlighted it in the passage. It's not like this is the only passage where these things are. Okay, this is the same slide, but with the don'ts cut out, so you can see them all separately. So we've got verse 3, still Ephesians 5, of course. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. It's worth slowing down when you get to one of these list passages and actually thinking about each term. Okay? They are never just slapped together. Okay? Like, you can go through each one. It's a bit like, which was the one a couple of weeks ago where it mentions like anger, and then it mentions like wrath and bitterness and malice, and so it's got a whole list of anger things. Was it Sunday's one? Yeah, I think. So, like, none of them is there by accident. If you actually pay attention to them, they're different angles on anger, right? And we've got some stuff here. Sexual immorality, okay, that's going to be the short version of this. And, I mean, if you are genuinely in doubt about what God means, and you've heard people who say, oh, this is acceptable to God, this and this and that, and they brought up passages and stuff, then please do look into things a bit deeper. I've not got the time to do that right now. Okay, but the short version of this is sexual immorality in the Bible. It's kind of interesting, actually. Basically, It's only ever really described in terms of who. Yeah? What I mean is, not that much is said in the Bible about particular sexual acts or attractions or anything. What is said is about who it goes on with. And the idea is simply what Jesus says. He calls back to Genesis, saying God made the male and female, yeah? And therefore each man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Okay? And that's Jesus' standard. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Simple. Yeah? So anything outside that is not good. A good analogy for this might be sex is a bit like fire. Okay? So, if you have fire all over the place, in the wrong places, where it shouldn't be, it's extremely dangerous. People get hurt, there are, you know, all kinds of other problems, you know, nearby people even get breathing difficulties, there's terrible smell, there's all kinds of stuff, right? If you have fire in a proper place, such as in a fireplace, yeah, or something like that, you know, it's designed to, I've got a wood burner at home, I have the fire on most nights. I have to stop at some point soon because we're getting towards ridiculous in terms of temperatures. but I do like a good fire, right? In the right place is a wonderful, life-giving, warming thing. Do not fall into the lie of Satan, okay, that sex inside marriage either never happens or is terrible. It's just his lie. He likes lying. Don't worry about it, okay? All right? Yeah. I mean, inside of marriage, is there an opportunity to get really good here?
Marriage takes really away.
Yeah? Anyway, that aside, so anything outside of a married, monogamous relationship between a man and a woman is going to be under that term of sexual immorality. That includes pornography and things like that, okay? I don't think I have to go into too much detail there. This stuff is rife in our culture, so I'm just offering a reminder, hello, that Jesus says, this is not for you. Okay? You don't have to, for some reason, some people like to make this like the main issue, as if this is the biggest sin in the whole Bible. No, it's a serious thing, and it does have a big effect on ourselves. It rewires our brain. Stuff like pornography will change the way your brain works, okay? So yeah, and I've documented, you know, I've had some issues with that myself, and you know? So I'm just saying, hey, it's not without effect, but equally, we are not a single-issue church, okay? We're not going to just harp on, you know, people who have one particular kind of sin struggle. We all have sin struggles, okay? What we aren't going to do, though, is pretend that any particular sins are fine, because that is unhealthy for us, okay? And it doesn't match who Jesus has made us to be, children of light. Okay, so, relating to that, oh, look, verse 4, let there be no filthiness, or foolish talk, or crude joking, which are out of place. Notice the first one, verse 3, talking about what's proper among saints, or holy ones, right? Cool. Again, don't fall for the lie that appropriate sex within a marriage is somehow unholy, or something like that, but you know, sexual immorality is unholy, not appropriate for saints or holy ones. We've got this one here about being out of place. Filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking. Who has ever been, I will say been tempted, but sort of given into the temptation to go along with coarse joking, you know, with sort of naughty jokes or whatever, that kind of thing, because it's funny and you're with a group of friends. Like,
guilty.
Absolutely, right? But we have to watch out for that, okay? Here's another one. You may be sure of this, everyone who's sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous. Now I'm going to just pause on the word covetous for a bit there. It says a covetous person is an idolater. What does that mean? Well, we don't use these words too much these days. Some translations have greedy person. I think greedy, again, not a word we use. How about the word addict? No. Yeah? Now, is addiction like a medical problem, or is it a character fault? You know what I mean? Like, Do you have a choice or do you not have a choice? Look, guys, this is with all sin, okay? We start out with a choice and we end up without a choice.
Yeah.
If we can, yeah? So we don't need to make that distinction when we're just deciding whether it's right or wrong, okay? We might need to make that distinction when it comes to, like, the ways in which you would approach dealing with it, okay? There's no point just telling someone to buck up and deal with it if they're so far gone that they, you know, they've lost all control, okay? You might need to do something beyond just telling them. However, in other situations, you know, maybe they do have control and can deal with it. All right? So, but yeah, covetous, addiction. Who's ever been addicted to anything? Like, who's ever, like, scrolled their phone and been like, why have I done that for, like...
If anyone kept their hands down for that, then...
Right. So, why is that a problem? It says here, idolatry. What does that mean? It's to put something else in the place of God. Yeah? If we are sons of God, if we are adopted into his family, then, I mean, he should be our top priority. He died for us, for goodness sake, to get us there. It's not like, you know, this is some drudgery. But we asked for this. We were like, Jesus, will you forgive me and take me into your kingdom? And then, yeah, it's not, yeah. So, okay. So, yes, anything being on top spot is not appropriate, okay? Oh, boy, Lord help us. We really need Gillian to talk to me soon, I think. To read the rest of the videos. You could do that. All right, community group, maybe. You might need to encourage each other at the end. All right, cool. But yeah, just be warned, you know, if we're in that situation, we have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Okay. Does that mean if you have an addiction or something like that, or a constant sin struggle, that you don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God? I don't know that it doesn't mean that. Let me put it this way. I'm pretty sure Jesus intends that when our habit does not match our identity, he intends us to think that our claims about that identity are questionable. He doesn't want us to say, oh, it's definitely not the case and Jesus rejected me forever. No, didn't say that. Okay? His forgiveness is always there. That's what he says. But he does want us to fear, because that's healthy. Fear is an emotion that tells you you're in danger. If we are sinning, we are in danger. Especially because, like I said, it goes down a slippery slope to where you have no control. So, yeah, there we go. He wants us to be afraid, but he doesn't want us to think he won't accept us if we turn to him. He will accept us if we turn to him. He will help us if we go to him. All right, I'll skip on quick now. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Okay, don't let anyone trick you to, this is fine because, don't let anyone, like, whitewash it. You know, paint over it, so to speak, and say, oh, this sin is fine because blah, 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 and then just get you to look into it, you know? How many people have had, like, someone read one Bible verse about something and thought, phew, well, that's totally fine, and, you know, it's not like they went and did their due diligence and checked all the other passages about it, but someone sort of, so, do not become partners with them. Them would be the sons of disobedience, don't take part in unfruitful works of darkness. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Okay. That doesn't mean you never ever mention anything or something. It just, you know, there's sometimes there's more shame in letting it keep going than speaking about it, so to speak, right? But I'm just saying, we don't want to be unnecessarily, gossiping about such things or whatever, or deriving enjoyment from other people's hijinks. Yes. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, be really careful before being a partner with people in this world. It's not, remember, we're not called to leave this world. We are supposed to be here. But just be really careful before going in with somebody on something. You know, that may be a way that Satan can then have a handle to deal, you know, to cause problems. Right. So, the light and darkness bit I just thought I'd mention here. And this is my last bit. Verse 8 to 14, which are not on the screen now, so you need your Bible in front of you. The light and darkness bit, okay? Now, in Paul's letters, I just did a quick search. These are all the time in Paul's letters, not counting the pastoral epistles, Timothy and Titus. But these are all the times there that he mentions light and darkness, okay? So, there we go. And what I want you to notice, I'm not going to read all these out now, they're on the slide. Okay, but
I want you to know she's number one, always consistent. So here, for example, is Romans 13:12. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Yeah? Again, we have, may your habits match your identity. Yeah? Let's see. There's a warning here. You know, therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. So, it's pointless hiding anything because Jesus is going to tell you. Is that scary?
Yeah.
Yep. Should it be scary? Yep, that's why it's in there. Is it a healthy fit? Yes. Yes, it is, because it's helping us to turn towards things of light, which are better for us, right? Okay. You know, it's how it said in our original passage here, where are we? That the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. God isn't trying to get us to turn, you know, away from anything, you know, good towards anything bad. No. Cool. Yeah. What else? You're an unequally yoked with unbelievers. Or what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or Ephesians 5:8. Oh look, at one time you were darkness, you were light in the Lord. All his children of light. That's our passage today. And Thessalonians 5:5. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Identity again, match our habits. Okay. So. Cool. I'll mention Jesus saying some things. All right. John 12, Jesus says to the people there, the light is among you for a little while away. He's talking about himself. He's about to go. For their purposes, he's about to disappear for a while. Okay. Then that promises to be with us always to the end of the age. But anyway, he says, the light is among them for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. What does that mean? I mean, behave like it while you have the opportunity, okay? But anyway, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Notice that darkness and ignorance is put together, light with perhaps knowledge or understanding or truth, okay? Revelation, things being revealed. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons or children of light. Yeah, so again, this is a consistent thing, all right? And even through Ephesians, we can see, I've highlighted on here, this is through Ephesians, Paul mentions, you know, this repeatedly. So we've got I'm not going to read more, but in chapter 4, three mentions here. Now, it's not all light and darkness. I'm now connecting the whole thing of deceitfulness, hiddenness, ignorance, those kind of things. With darkness and truth and light, yeah? So for example, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. How often has one of us had a desire which has turned out to be tricking us? Yeah, right? Okay, cool. Or this bit, we have our passage here. How about this? He even goes on beyond this and says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then two verses later he says, that stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Notice, we've got this commitment to light and to truth, okay? Jesus clearly uses this, again he mentions truth and light quite a lot of times. I'm not going to read them all, there's some stuff on the notes here. So let me just see. Oh yeah, I will read one little thing from him and I'll kick off quick after that. Jesus said in John chapter 3, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Yeah? When I mentioned a minute ago God being everything, suddenly we were in a desire to be living rightly. Yeah? Funny that, isn't it? Right back to the Garden of Eden, you're Adam and Eve, they do something wrong, their first instinct is to hide. Very first instinct, yeah? Even though it's from God. But never mind, that doesn't stop us trying to hide, yeah? Anyway, continuing here, for everyone, says Jesus, who does wicked things, hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so it may be seen clearly, so that his works have been carried out in God. Lord Jesus, I pray, thank you that you convict us. Thank you that you shine your light on our hearts. We pray, please help us to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Please help us. Thank you. You've adopted us in your family. You've put like you know, a royal crown on our head. Not because we're the king, because you are. Thank you. Please help us to walk and think about what's pleasing to you and to walk in the light of truth, honesty, your openness, and exposing evil rather than participating. Help us to have the wisdom to know how and when and where to do that. We ask, to be honest, that we will just walk with you. And everything else, I know you will help us do.